Marco is an award-winning filmmaker whose content has been featured on places like National Geographic, CNN, Forbes, Lad Bible, and countless other publications. What's really interesting to me is that he's completely self-educated on his career, filmmaking, and we talked about how he got his first job at Unilad without even owning a camera.
I sent it to a publication called Unilad in the UK. It was like a meme page, right? And I said, oh, guys, do you want to share this? I mean, I sent it to fucking hundreds of pages, man. And that's the key to everything, right? Just fucking spamming everyone. And they were like, yeah, we're making a video team. Come in for a meeting. I was like, a video team? Come in for a meeting? I thought it was like two dudes living in the mum and dad's basement, like posting right. memes or some shit. Like, we've got an office. I went to the office in Manchester. I chatted loads of shit, acting like I knew what I was doing. At this point, I still never used a camera. I was just editing. And I was like, yeah, start next week. We'd love to take you on as like a creative producer here and head up the video team in Manchester.
Wow.
I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I had no money. I was like, Mum, Dad, listen, I need to borrow a little bit of cash before I get my first payment. I need to buy a camera. I don't even know how to use a camera. So I got a camera for the next week. I was just on YouTube every night researching how to use this fucking thing. And within a week, yeah, I kind of got to grips with it, turned up to work and started working there in 2015.
I watched a lot of your documentaries, and I spent this morning going through like a lot of your shit posts as well. And honestly, to me, it's a close call. Like, the documentaries are good, but the China Dalai Lama shit post, for me, some of your best work. With all due respect,
appreciate it, man. Yeah, it's it's definitely like kind of bipolar content. I think we can call it like shit posting and cultural documentaries. It's not really standard, is it?
No, it's not really what I expect from like a documentary filmmaker. Like, I wouldn't, I know Tarantino doesn't have a Instagram, but if he did, and I went to Tarantino's Instagram, and it's like just China Communist Party shit posts with Dalai Lama, like, I'd be like, Tarantino, is everything all right, my man? Is everything cool at home? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, isn't it, man? I think when I started posting, because I haven't always posted that type of stuff for like many years. I kept like a professional documentary filmmaker, Nat Geographic, look at me. I'm so deep with my documentaries kind of persona online. But there's only so long you can go doing that before like the inner shit poster and the inner degenerate kind of starts leaking out. And over time, yeah, I've just absolutely like laid into that side of my personality, and it's kind of liberating, to be honest, bro.
Why didn't you, like, honestly, this is a stupid question, but why didn't you make a video on the Dalai Lama, like, shit posting thing? Because there's so many, like, there's actual, maybe I'm fucked in the head, dude, but I look at that, I'm like, that's kind of content right there, like,
like, yeah, man. Funny. Yeah, I could have. I mean, it was, for me, I kind of buzz off the fact it was all, like, live happening on Instagram at that moment in time, and there were, like, new developments. So I guess the highlight on Instagram is kind of a video in a sense. It's like an experience watching it. But yeah, that I should make it into a YouTuber. Like, you know, that time all the Tibetans wanted to kill me. But I don't know, man. I don't want to poke the fucking Tibetan bear too much, because who knows, man. Like, some of the death threats I was getting were fucking crazy. Somebody actually photoshopped a picture of a dog, and they got a picture of my girlfriend kissing me on the cheek from like a different Instagram post from her profile. They cut her out and made it so she was kissing the dog's ass. And I was like, you know, that's actually pretty creative, man. Like, credit to you. And the text in the fucking email was like, you're a fucking pig, die you fucking scum. But I was hell like, bro, that's quite a good photo, man. Like, respect, man.
That's just good banter. That's good fun. Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Exactly. I mean, saying he's going to kill my girlfriend and we're all dogs and everything like that, maybe a bit too far, but the picture, I'm all for that, man. I'm all for that. And
I had the same thing.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, carry on. No, I had the same thing like that. I was like, I've rattled communities as well. Keep going.
What communities have you rattled, man?
Dude, I rattled the Norwegian community. Like, I don't know one time on Twitter, I forgot what it was, but I got in a debate with someone, and I couldn't have been more sarcastic if I tried. Like, I was making fun of their free healthcare, you know? I was like, what pussy country has free healthcare? I was literally living in Canada, dude. And then they're like, we're very proud of our healthcare. I'm like, you shouldn't be, you fucking pussy. Like, I couldn't be more obvious with how, like, I was trolling. And then as, like, the community, like, spread my messages to other Norwegians, I just get all these, like, Norwegian accounts, like, with little Norwegian flags. And then they're, like, making little, let's fight in Norway, like, little edited Photoshop posts. And I'm like, you guys can't fucking play sports. Like, don't pretend like you're going to fight. I just kept going. And it just got funnier.
That was on Twitter.
That was on Twitter. Yeah, I started like I had an Instagram message where like I Photoshop Odegaard. Like he's like, "What the fuck are you saying about my country, bro?" Like he slid my DMs, and they're like, "Bro, Odegaard is gonna get you now." Like I'm like, "Oh my god, this is just keep getting funnier." Like I don't know.
Yeah, but people match for it on Twitter. Ah, is that a YouTube video? I need to check that out, man.
That's an Instagram. That's an Instagram video. It's a fake mockumentary I made. Like I'll send you.
People on Twitter, man, well, X as they call it now, they go crazy, man. They go hard, like straight up keyboard warriors there. It's it's pretty crazy, man. People are always like, oh yeah, you should start tweeting. But for me, like the medium of Instagram and being able to use like the video or like the imagery with the audio, it's so much more, I don't know, engaging, man. It's like more sensory. Text is just a bit, I don't know, you know?
It's not the same. No. I get what you're saying.
Like they started Instagram try to start threads, right? And I'm just on threads and I'm like, what even is this? It's just text on a screen. Like I'm wanting like a VR metaverse social media platform or something. I'm ready to go to the next fucking level. I don't want to be fucking just reading text on a screen, you know?
You want
to
teabag someone in the meta world. Yeah, I'm with you.
I want to go toe to toe with the Tibetans, you know? I want to see if the Dalai Lama will lick my tongue in the metaverse, man.
Just imagine this. The Dalai Lama sends you a Wii Sports invite and you have to fucking play him in Wii Sports like the sword game in the metaverse. And there's all these like Tibetans watching around at live. And then the winner, like, I don't know, like loses their family or something crazy, like something fun. Like, so,
I have this conversation a lot. I say to people, like, if like the Gladiator was still around and like gladiatorial like arenas, would you go watch it? But if you think about the future of the metaverse, it could be like resurrected. I mean, a lot of people are kind of scared and like all the dystopian side of the way the media is going, social media. But I'm hyped, man. I'm hyped to fight the Dalai Lama. I'm hyped to have metaverse wars and stuff. I think it's going to be fun, man.
Imagine a mini game where you have to sniff as many children's heads in the metaverse as possible. Like that'd slap in the Vatican. That'd slap in any religious like cult.
Biden and Pope.
Do you have any sponsors that I should be should I be worried about? I don't want to get you canceled.
No, my client stopped messaging me a long time ago. So I don't really have clients these days, thanks to my shit posting, but. That's how we roll, man. That's how we roll.
How did you get into, let's, I guess, for a moment, try to be serious. How did you get into filmmaking?
I was unemployed, man. I was on the dole. I'd recently returned from traveling in Thailand. And my whole mentality was, how the hell do I get back to Asia? How the hell do I get back to Thailand? I really want to live out there, but I want to make a perpetual income. So I tried web design, I tried graphic design. Kind of didn't really meld with any of them. I wasn't really passionate about them. And I did a lot of writing, but it's so hard to make a living writing. And then I thought, fuck it, I'm just going to get a job in a bank, save up, and then go to Thailand. I got fired from the bank after a month. And I was like, okay,
what did you do? How?
Oh, man, I'm just not made for a bank, man. Wearing a suit every day, sat down taking calls about mortgage complaints and facts and figures and statistics and just that whole rigidity of life, man. It's unfortunately, it's not me. Like, some people can do that shit. And the pay was good and I'd love to stay longer, but it was definitely like soul crushing working there. And when I got fired, I was actually pretty fucking happy. You know that thing that people do in movies when they're really happy and they click the heels together? I walked out of the office. I was like, right, Marco, what the hell do you want to do with your life, man? You failed at all this stuff. You're just being fired. what do you enjoy? And I was like, well, I kind of enjoy watching like Vice documentaries and videos, and always played around on Windows Movie Maker as a kid, making stupid videos or like beating up friends and stuff like that. So I thought, okay, I'll ring my friend who goes to university and is studying journalism. He can get his hand on cameras. Let's go and make a little video about, in England, we have something called the English Defence League. And I guess you could compare it to Proud Boys, or more trashy than Proud Boys, kind of like a right-wing extremist racist group.
Okay, okay.
And they were doing like a rally in Newcastle, and there was them, and then there was a counter rally. I said to my friend, let's go interview some people, make a video, see what happens. And from there, man, just made that video and kept on rolling with it, sent it to a few platforms and got opportunities. And
what year was this? How long ago was this?
That was 2015. I sent that to, and but I wasn't filming anything. I was just interviewing people, and my friend was filming, and then I'd edit the video. I sent it to a few platforms. Another platform was like, "Yeah, this is really good. Let's have another one." So I made a little documentary about vaping culture in 2015. This is going way back, man.
420, baby. Woo! That was a fun one.
So it was like in London, they had this big like vape convention, and it was all these like super cool guys having cloud competitions to see who could do the biggest clouds. And it was interesting, man. There was like an expo, so there was like loads of different stands with different vapes. There was actually a vape called Crow Vape. It was these Croatian dudes, and they have like Swarovski crystals in the vape and all this type of stuff. So it was an interesting like expose on vape culture. It was like up and coming then.
I must have missed this one. I don't know.
That's not on my website. That's nowhere. That's fucking piece of shit, man. Nobody's seen that shit. But I sent it to a publication called Unilad in the UK. It was like a meme page, right? And I said, "Oh, guys, do you want to share this?" I mean, I sent it to fucking hundreds of pages, man. And that's the key to everything, right? Just fucking spamming everyone. And they were like, yeah, we're making a video team. Come in for a meeting. I was like, a video team? Come in for a meeting? I thought it was like two dudes living in the mum and dad's basement, like posting memes or some shit. Like, we've got an office. I went to the office in Manchester. I chatted loads of shit, acting like I knew what I was doing. At this point, I still never used a camera. I was just editing. And I was like, yeah, start next week. We'd love to take you on as like a creative producer here and head up the video team in Manchester.
Wow.
I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I had no money. I was like, Mum, Dad, listen, I need to borrow a little bit of cash before I get my first payment. I need to buy a camera. I don't even know how to use a camera. So I got a camera for the next week. I was just on YouTube every night researching how to use this fucking thing. And within a week, I kind of got to grips with it, turned up to work and started working there in 2015 for 6 months. Moved to their rival for another 6 months, Lad Bible.
Hell yeah.
And then as soon as I had like a year of experience in the bag and enough money saved up for like a nice lens and a nice MacBook, I was like, right, time to head back to Asia. And that was 2016 now, and never looked back, man.
Holy shit. So you've been living there from 2016?
Yeah. I mean, I've been home for like little stints, little visits, but since 2016, most of my time in Bali. Probably like 70% Bali, 30% Thailand.
It's funny how little those like publications, like they didn't do any background into you. They're just like, yeah, that guy probably knows what he's doing. Fuck, he made one 420 video in the park. He's probably legit.
Exactly, man. Exactly. It was like that kind of fun startup atmosphere. It's like it's a fun page, isn't it? Like Unilad, Lad Bible. I mean, Lad Bible is now on the stock market, so it's gone super corporate and stuff. But at the time, it was just up and coming. And I think if they saw like you had a personality that gelled with them and you were kind of creative, they were like, yeah, come along. But thank God they didn't do any diving into my past, because I had no idea how to make a fucking video at all, man. At all.
In, you said 2015. I think I started 2016 or 2017, and I was making like FIFA content. And I remember, like, I was just trying whatever, like, anything to get any views. I was trying to figure out what I could do. So the videos that started taking off was, like, my dumbass commentary on funny, like, glitch videos. And then I remember like one time one of my videos was picked up by Sports Bible and it got like a million views on their platform. I'm like, whoa, holy shit. Like it blew my mind. I'm like, so wait a minute. They just made a million, like they got a million views for my thing. And I got like a little at Nelly whatever on YouTube. I'm like, this is a really good business model these guys got. They're just taking content from all over the world. This is before they even paid. Like now they give you like a couple $100, whatever, if they really steal like a viral post. But this was like before. I'm like, all right, I guess this is good. It's like people saw it, like it's on my resume now, like whatever.
Back then it was like kind of the honor of being featured by one of these pages. Yes. And you'd have to suffice that as payment, right? But yeah, man, it's crazy how much revenue they used to make. They used to have like a screen in the Lad Bible office. Obviously, Sport Bible is a subsidiary, so they'd be like the Sport Bible guys over there, us Lad Bible guys over here, the video team. And they'd have a screen and you'd be able to see live how many people are on the website at any given time. And you know,
no way.
Numbers are going down. It's like, get some clickbait out. We need to release some clickbait or ad revenue is going to go down. So you've got to keep them numbers up like the fucking stock market or some shit. And I think that permeates through to mainstream media these days as well. You know, everyone's trying to be so extreme to get the attention.
It's such a bad business model. Like they're just producing garbage at any point just to make sure that like basically their stock value goes up.
Pretty much, man. And I mean, I kind of wanted ideally to like work for someone like Vice. You know, I was younger, I was all pretentious. I want to be a serious documentary filmmaker. But the way I saw it is that when Unilad said, yeah, we want to come work for you, I was like, look, I want to make documentaries. I recognize that they have like an audience of guys who typically aren't engaged in serious subject matters. You know, typically like, you know, casually racist English guys who follow these type of pages, like lads, you know, that's what they are. So when I got the job, I was like, right, I want to go to a refugee camp in Calais across the border in France. And I want to make a documentary about that because there's so much in the media, right wing, like fucking migrants, refugees, bastards and all this kind of stuff. And I realized that if you work in a company like that, you can instead of preaching to the choir, like working for CNN or something like that, making these type of documentaries by people who are already kind of in the know, you can really instill a little bit of thought in people who wouldn't normally see that type of stuff. So yeah, I was going to like Calais making documentaries about refugees. Monsters in Boston. Yeah, man. Yeah. So it was totally
the comments
like,
are like, what the fuck is Unilad doing in fucking this refugee camp? And then that video is now unlisted for obvious reasons.
In it, man. In it. So it's, I mean, credit to them because they wanted to like branch out away from the memes and just the funny shit. And Lad Bible definitely has done that these days. They've got like some really cool videos with like snipers and old drug dealers and people being in prison. And yeah, they make a fucking huge range of content now, man.
Isn't it funny that like when you were coming up, Vice was like the go-to place, mostly because of Shane Smith and some of the insane documentaries he had. And then Lad Bible was kind of like the joke platform where like it's just shit posts and memes. And now Vice is completely like, I don't know who the hell watches Vice. Maybe maybe I'm wrong, but I think Vice has gone down the shitter. And then you have these guys still trying to make like random creative documentaries on topics that are like really complex.
Yeah, man, Vice. I'm sure like Vice is going bankrupt. Or I saw something a few weeks back saying it was bankrupt. I mean, I'm not really surprised. It does feel kind of out of touch, and their posts on Instagram are always so weird. Like just kind of It's like it's like that clickbaity trigger. You know, we'll post this because we know it's going to get a lot of comments because it's so controversial, being controversial for the sake of it. And it looks like it's kind of caught up with them. Like on the majority of Vice Instagram posts, you will just see people slagging off Vice and like unfollowed, fuck you, Vice. This is why you're bankrupt. Like it's pretty fucking funny, man. Really funny. But those early Vice videos were really a good. I still like the one-star review guy. That guy's pretty funny.
One-star review? No, yeah. I didn't know Vice one-star reviews. What the hell is this? Getting buff with Yelp's worst rated trainer. Dude.
Yeah, he goes to like one-star rated like strip clubs. He's been to like skydiving center, I think he went to.
Oh, dude, I'm adding this to my watch later. Holy shit, looks spicy.
The editing is really cool, man. It's done like in a super like 80s cheesy style with all like the transitions and stuff, man. It's good.
This has a, I don't know if you've ever heard of Miles Barlow. Have you heard of Miles Barlow?
Nah, man, nah.
Miles Barlow is this Australian guy who had a show, like, you can find all his episodes on YouTube. It's called Review. And he just reviews things in life. Like, he reviews, like, divorce. So, one, it's like, it's all obviously like a comedy, like, it's comedy, it's sketch stuff. But he's like, this is what it feels like to be divorced. I have a slight sense of sadness every morning when I wake up. And it's like, it's really well done. Even like Margaret Robbie's in one of the episodes. So like, this is like from 10 years ago. So yeah. I don't know. It's a really good show. Really underrated. Is, like, I don't think anyone knows about it.
Is that on YouTube? Or?
It's on YouTube. Miles Barlow Review. And it's so well written. I'm surprised it didn't like take off a bit more.
I'll give that a look.
I guess I was curious with the style of some of these documentaries, especially the ones in Asia. You're mostly behind the camera, and there's no narration from your end. I'm curious why you went that route of storytelling. I guess
I really wanted to give a voice to local people. Oh, aren't I a saint? No, but I really, yeah, just giving a... See, that's why I'm not, I can't be a serious filmmaker.
Man,
every time I try and be a serious filmmaker, there's a voice in my head who's like, ooh, like,
ooh,
can't fucking do it. Yeah.
Filmmaker guy.
Oh, man. But I think when I'd see a lot of content in Asia, in Bali, in Thailand, it'd just be like vloggers, like, my day in Chiang Mai, my day in Bali, here's my breakfast, me, I went to the beach, here's my girlfriend, look at her ass. Like, just fucking boring, man, boring. Yeah. Nobody's kind of giving a voice to, or even exploring the culture that's in these places. So many people go to Bali and Thailand and just kind of do the same shit, especially Bali. And, you know, go to the beach clubs, go to fucking the main tourist attractions, and they don't even fucking think about anything else that's going on there. And they just think it's kind of an island made for them. So I really wanted to give a voice to the people, and I really love like the kind of cinematic style of filmmaking. I wanted to make it feel like a film and like really high end. So I guess that's why I went down that route. But now, after all these years, I've decided to go back to the way I did the vape one, the shitty vape documentary, where I'm going to act more of a host and more of a voiceover. So it's funny how things change, right?
How are you finding these stories? How are you finding these people? Like the guy carving things out of wood, or the long neck tribe?
Yes.
Pardon my stupidity, by the way. This is how I fucking ask questions. Like, how you finding that guy with the wood carving shit, dude?
Yeah,
I guess,
man.
Man.
Mate, he's a legend, man. He's a proper legend. I just met this dude in Bali. I was looking for somewhere to live and in a Facebook group, and he popped up. I went to look at the place. It wasn't that good, so I decided not to live there. And it seemed like a really friendly local guy. So I messaged him the next day and was like, yeah, sorry, I don't like the place, but maybe you can help me out. I want to be I just moved there and I wanted to start making videos. I was like, maybe you know anyone, or is anything interesting you'd like to film? And he was also a tour guide. His name's Agus, proper legend, man. And he's like, I know this guy who carves. I know this healer dude. He helped me translate. So he was like a kind of fixer and a producer. And it was really cool because I've been working with him since 2016 to make all these stories. And then in 2022, BBC approached me to do like a campaign for Wonderful Indonesia, Ministry of Tourism Indonesia, about Bali reopening post-COVID. And the whole video, the whole like commercial, TV commercial, is about Agus, and he's doing the voiceover, he's doing the guiding, he's talking about Bali. So it was so cool, like after like 6-7 years to then make a video about the dude who enabled me to become a filmmaker and everything, and who I owe everything to, man. He's a legend.
The government reaches out to you to make like travel? I'm confused. Or like,
So the government.
How does that work?
Reach out to BBC Storyworks, which is like the commercial arm of BBC, to create content basically to advertise on BBC. And then BBC Storyworks either contacts a filmmaker, or they put a pitch out and you apply. So I think for this one, they contacted me because I've worked with them quite a lot in the past. And they were like, yeah, we're doing this about Bali opening up. We'd love you to make a video. And we just work together on the creative and then go shoot it, man.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that's how it worked. I guess it's a completely different route than the standard content creator route where you're trying to garnish like a full audience on these like super baity tourism videos. You're kind of established through the network that you've made already a bunch of content for. And that's how you get clients mostly. Is that your most of your work?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, when I moved out to Asia, my plan was just to make documentaries and just, I'll see what happens. I'll hopefully make it work. And after 2 years, I'd made a lot of documentaries. But money was kind of scarce. I was still doing a bit of freelance editing jobs. But then because of one of the documentaries I made in Thailand about Muay Thai, I got offered the chance to shoot a commercial for Thai Airways, again, in collaboration with BBC. And inadvertently, me making these passion project documentaries that, you know, I didn't think about the money or anything like that, they worked as kind of a business card because they got shared far and wide and the distribution was really good and the engagement was really good. That business owners would see them, big clients would see them. And I start getting so much client work from these documentaries that I guess a bit like a business card, really. I'd have people messaging me, you know, to make yoga videos because they saw something about a Balinese healer, or I've shot all kinds of shit. So I'm a big fan of making what you truly are passionate about and what you believe in, and then trusting that the cash comes after.
The cash comes. I tell this to everyone, dude. It's such a, yeah. It sounds so cliche.
I don't know if it's like, naive, man. It might be a bit naive. I don't know.
But like, I don't know. Anyone, most people that I talk to, that's the pattern I'm seeing, or the people that I see like really successful in doing, maybe not from a cash perspective because cash is not guaranteed, but successful in doing what they love. I've noticed a pattern of like, I do it first. I don't think about the money. The money comes second. And it usually, if you're persistent enough, like, dude, there's jobs for anything. I saw a fucking job post today. It was like someone's looking for someone that has content experience writing about like dogs. I'm like, they're starting a business and they want to have like an equal 50% like partner. So they're giving equity and they're giving a salary for someone that wants to go in with them on this dog content they're trying to make. I'm like, in what world would someone tell me in like high school, hey man, you like dogs? You should really devote a lot of time to writing like copywriting about dogs. Like,
yeah,
it seems so ludicrous.
And the thing is, as well, you could just use ChatGPT to write all the
content. Let's not ruin this. Let's not ruin this with your goddamn Disney cookie cutter ChatGPT.
I mean, it's crazy, man. AI video creation, man. Like the way it can create videos. Them voiceovers you hear on every YouTube short, that same guy's voice. It's crazy, isn't it, man?
It's fucking wild. I wonder if I'm spending too much time actually putting creativity into content. I should just pump it out like fucking Disney, you know? Like just...
Yeah, this is the thing. Factory. This is why I'm kind of shifting to more of like doing voiceover and getting in front of the camera more, because I'm kind of realizing that as AI gets better and better, AI will be able to make a beautiful cinematic video.
Easily.
But what AI maybe can't replicate yet is like kind of sarcasm, humor, satire. I was gonna say me, you, but unfortunately, you've seen these AI avatars going around.
Yeah,
that people make of themselves, and they're like talk, and the hands move, and everything, and they're just writing in the words. It's fucking scary, man.
I mean, yeah, to a certain extent, I think, you know, you can replicate you, but I think the true essence of you is going to be a lot bigger undertaking than most people assume. Like the style of writing, the jokes, the creativity, like where do I get my stupid ideas? I don't know. I'm on the shitter. I'm like, oh, that's a funny idea. Why don't I make that? How is a robot going to simulate that level of random creative? I don't know. Maybe there will be like a button you click, make 10 out of 10 creativity Nelly post. Pops it out. It's like a Serbia video about, I don't know.
Have you gone on ChatGPT and wrote like, I want to make like a similar video to Nelly. I want it in that style. Give me a style. Because I've done that with different YouTubers.
Haven't tried it.
It's pretty crazy, man, how it gives you ideas and full-on scripts and everything to do things in the style of other YouTubers and stuff. Yeah, but then obviously there's implementation as well, so that's like another step. But, man.
We're getting there, man. We're getting there.
The metaverse fight with the Dalai Lama, we're getting there, man.
That's the content. I don't give a shit about your other documentaries. That's the work you should be focusing on. Posts about the Lama.
What kind of stuff are you focusing on these days? Because I know you do a lot about with FIFA and PES, and I was watching some of your videos about how, like, after 2013 it all went to shit and stuff
No, it wasn't that late. It wasn't that early. It all went to shit in like 20 fuck when I was my last time I made a FIFA video. I think 2021, 2020. I made like a documentary about why FIFA is completely garbage. Like it was my like piece de resistance, and I'm out. Like I released that. I'm like, I don't think I can do better than this. It got almost 1 million views on YouTube. It was a 41 minute video, and I'm like, I did it. I beat this video game, FIFA. I don't have anything to give here, so I haven't made any content on that. So I kind of, you know what? In a weird way, I think I have a similar problem to you. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm looking for the interesting guest, just as like you're looking for the interesting story, and it's like, how do I find that without wasting a lot of time, two, doing it organically and not like diving into stuff that I'm actually not interested about. Like I've had offers to talk to people. I'm like, why? Like, I don't really care. Like, I don't want to force it. So I'm in this weird, like, I want to make content, but like, it's so much dependent on who I can bring in. So in the meantime, I'm like, what else can I do? I'm like, all right, it's funny, random, like Serbia videos. Like, I got plenty of ideas on that. I'll just do that. I don't have any strategy. Like I have no, for someone that does this for a job, I have no strategy for my own content. I just make random shit.
Make what you feel, man. But there's some beauty in that, isn't there? Some beauty in not bastardizing it and thinking, having a business plan and thinking about numbers and KPIs and all that fucking bullshit. Because the minute that starts and you're on LinkedIn and fuck that shit, man. Like,
it's the worst.
You've got to keep it natural, man. You've got to keep it natural and do whatever you feel in that moment. But, Are you mainly focusing on podcasting these days then, rather than YouTube videos? Or
Yeah, I need to get back. I also have a second channel. I wanted to make videos about, you know, I live in Spain. I moved to Spain about a year ago. I want to make videos on switching careers. I used to be an engineer, 5 years of engineering. So I have stuff that I can make videos on. There's not enough hours in the day, dude. Like, I also have a job. Like, I'm fucking... I don't know if you can see, I'm not sleeping great. No, I'm kidding.
Are you working in Spain then for a company, or are you just freelancing?
Not for a Spanish company, but yeah, online work.
Ah,
so I'm living remotely. I'm in Valencia.
Nice, man.
That's nice. Valencia is the hub for nomads in the last like 5 years. Like, it's one of the best places in Europe to be. It's like really cheap, always sunny. People are really nice. Food is great. There's a beach. I don't know. It's really popular now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people seem to be heading to Spain as well as Portugal. Really popular with nomads as well, man. I'd love to get down there and check it out.
Why didn't you go there as opposed to like, what's the big appeal of Asia as opposed to warm European coasts?
Ping pong shows. Nah, I graduated.
You can't see a good ping pong show out here, dude.
When I graduated, my Bosnian friend, the year before he graduated, we studied the same thing at uni, politics, and he moved to Wuhan in China.
Hell yeah.
To be an English teacher. And he was telling me, he was like, you got to get yourself out here, man. It's like the best. It's really cool. You'll make loads of money, pay off your student debts and everything. I was like, okay. So I graduated straight to Wuhan, arrived. Sat there in his apartment, looking over the city on the balcony, smog, grey, dull. He looks at me and goes,
"That's what your love for the Chinese Communist Party derived from."
Exactly, man. He went to me and went, "Yeah, it's a bit of a shithole here, to be honest, man." I was like, "What the fuck? Why am I here, man? I've just travelled like fucking 5,000 miles." So that was my experience of Asia, and I lasted about 4 or 5 months there. Some fucking weird shit went down with this huge mafia boss. It's a long story.
I got time. Yeah. Would it get you killed? Yeah. Would it get you killed or no?
There's definitely the one that would get me killed more than the Tibetan Dalai Lama stuff, man. I actually wrote a big article about it.
Okay, so it's not like you're hiding this. But, okay.
And I got really high one night and I was like, messaged the publication. I was like, you've got to take that shit down. I'm going to get killed one day. So it's not actually out there anymore. Yeah, it's definitely super risky, man.
Okay, it's fine. It's fine. I prefer you not to die because of my podcast, if that's okay.
Nah, I'm happy to talk about it, though, man. I'm happy. If you want to know,
I do.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? My eyes just fucking lit up when you said mafia story in China. Are you crazy?
So when I got to Wuhan, they put me in a kindergarten and, you know, I was to like do these crazy dances every morning while they're raising the flag and act like a fucking, just the kind of silly white guy that the school had employed to please all the parents. I was like a performing monkey and I'd only teach for like 1 hour a day and the rest of the time I'd just be sat at the back of the class. Like, what the fuck, man? I thought I'd be like on a Chinese adventure, chasing dragons, going to the Great Wall, learning Kung Fu, but I'm in fucking Wuhan, shit all over city. Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, the best part of my day is when I actually taught and I just put on Gangnam Style and the whole class would go fucking crazy, start dancing. All the other kids would come out of other classrooms, the teacher would be like, turn it off. I'd be like, no, and like everyone would be dancing. That was pretty good, but after a month, I was like, nah, fuck this shit. I need to find a new job. So my rent was running out at the accommodation that the school had got me, and I'd have to go back to England if I couldn't find a new job. So I was searching, and this job came up in the neighbouring province of Hunan in a town called Juzhou, and it was like triple the pay, only working 4 hours a day, tutoring two kids. I'd have my private residence, I'd have a driver, all my meals would be taken care of, everything paid for. I was like, what the fuck? This is amazing. So it also said you need to have a London accent, a received pronunciation, Queen's English accent. And I was like, well, I definitely don't have that. Applied.
Can you put one on?
Well, no, I mean, I try, but I really can't do it. But luckily, they don't even know what it is. You know, they've just read somewhere that you need to be able to speak like the Queen. And I thought I was going to, like, tutor two middle-class kids of a rich Chinese family, and I'd have a fucking great time. Had the interview. They went, yeah, we're going to send a car tomorrow and pick you up. Got to my place in Wuhan, drove down, driving for like 4 or 5 hours, and we arrive at this huge industrial complex, huge, man, and had camouflage guards at the gate. And I was like, I said to my translator, dude, where's this? He went, oh, this is where the big boss lives. This is where you're going to be teaching. I was like,
whoa.
Big boss? What are you talking about, man?
Metal Gear Solid?
We drive in, man. Yeah, exactly. Otacom. We drive in, and we go past a zoo. He has a fucking zoo, man. Past all these like kind of industrial factory units, there's a zoo. There's a football, like little football stadium. There's a lake. There's parks. And then pull up to this like grandiose palace. We go in, and I'm like bowing, meeting all these people. The big boss is out of town on a hunting trip in Mongolia, but I meet his kids, spoiled little shits.
okay.
And I was just like, what the hell is going on? All this ornate furniture and everything. And I'm just kind of gobsmacked and thinking, what's going on? What have I got myself into here? So I get taken to my accommodation, settle in, nice, get the Wi-Fi, open the laptop. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. So I Googled the name of his company and English teaching. And the first result on Google was Caps Lock. In an English teacher's forum, warning, do not teach here. I clicked on it, and it was just this huge, like, kind of essay of the teacher before me talking about how this guy is a mafia boss, the owner, links to articles of all the negative stuff he'd done. He'd, like, apparently killed people, buried someone alive. He owned football teams, so he did, like, a lot of bribery and match fixing, and one of his players didn't want to, like, you know, partake, so he buried him alive. And all this fucking crazy shit of crimes he's committed. And I only just realized how much of a big deal this guy was. And this essay went on for fucking miles. And I was like, shit, man. Like, what the fuck? Rang my parents. I was like, yeah, there's this pretty stark warning online that I shouldn't be here. It sounds like I'm getting involved with some kind of bad people. And they were like, how much is he paying you? I was like, well, you know, he's paying me quite a lot. They're like, well, you've got a lot of debt from university. Yeah, you just chill for a bit. I was like, oh, okay. So I decided just to stick it out, man, like, see what happens. I like a bit of danger. I like a bit of, like, living Holy life shit. On the edge, man. I mean, I'm getting treated like a prince. He, like, held me in such high regard because I was, like, the tutor to his kids, and I'd only have to teach them an hour each in the morning, an hour each in the evening. And when he eventually came back from Mongolia, I met him, and we had, like, a big meal, and it was, like, one of them spinning tables that the Chinese have. And we're all sat around. There's me, my translator, the big boss, and all of his, like, executives and managers of this company. And this is a multinational company all over China. They make plastic piping. They actually fitted the plastic piping in the palace underneath the Tibetan, in Tibet, wow. The Dalai Lama's
palace. It comes full circle. Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, there we wow. go, man. There we go. So it was crazy, man. Like, there'd be grown men at this table, and every time he talked to them, they'd stand up and, like, bow their head and just listen. And he'd be going fucking crazy, man. And you could only drink your drink when he drank his drink. And it was this huge chalice that he had compared to anyone else. And he took me down to his, like, wine cellar, and he's, like, taking me. He's like, this one, he didn't really speak English, but he's, like, gesturing. And my translator's like, is this one good? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. Just because I'm white, I don't know anything about fucking wine. I drink cheap cider back in England. You know, I'm a student. In there, all my shitty clothes that I've just been traveling around fucking Europe with, man, with this fucking multimillionaire dude. And it was really crazy, man. Eye-opening experience. He bought me great clothes, got me anything I needed.
Damn.
Yeah, but then some weird shit started happening, man. There was this driver that used to pick me up every day, and sometimes he was late. It was a bit of a douchebag, man, put a really loud Chinese EDM on his car. One day he didn't come and collect me, and I just said to the guy, sorry, the guy didn't come. Never saw that dude again. Just disappeared.
Get the fuck out of here.
Okay, that's kind of weird. And then another time...
He got fired. He went on holiday.
This is why I left. Another time, there was an English-speaking manager at the company, and the boss said that every Wednesday he had to take me out. So we went out a few times to, like, these restaurants where you pick a live salmon and then they cut it for you and make it all fresh. Sure. Really cool. One Wednesday he didn't show up. I don't care. I don't mind. Whatever. I just told my translator, oh, yeah, he didn't show up. We didn't go out for a meal. A few days later, my translator told me that the boss had locked him up in his private jail, his private prison, without any food or water for, like, 3 days or some shit like that. Because, yeah, he forgot to take me out for fucking lunch or some shit. I was just like, what the fuck, man? Like, that was a bridge too far for me. And I was just like, this shit is getting weird, man.
It's time to go.
Yeah, exactly, man. It was Christmas Eve. And I was, like, a little bit homesick because of all the weird shit that was happening. And I was just like, right, I'm just going to book a fucking flight, man, and get the hell out of
Dodge.
I told him, man. My grandma was actually unwell at the time as well. So thanks, grandma. God bless her soul. I said, yeah, you know, my grandma's not well. I'm going to pop back to England. But don't worry, I'll be back. As soon as I got to England, man, I never looked back, and I was never going back there. Yeah. Really strange experience, man. Really strange. So that was my experience of China just after graduating of Asia. And I came back to England and I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And luckily my friend offered me, he said he was going to travel in Thailand and he wanted someone to come with him. And I had zero money. You know, I just come from China. He was like, oh, I'll lend you some money. I'll lend you $2,000. Come to Thailand. I was like, fuck it. Let's go, man.
Damn, so that's a
I went
one.
To Thailand after that. Yeah, he's a legend, man. And the contrast between Thailand and China, it really blew my mind, man. So friendly. Such a beautiful culture, beautiful beaches, scenery, everything. And it was like I was hooked straight away, man. So from then on, I've just been out here my mind's been here in Asia. You know, I came home after that traveling and everything I did, whether it was working at Unilad Lab Bible, it was to get back to Southeast Asia.
You're engaged, man. Congrats. I saw. Congratulations.
Yeah, man. I finally did it. 9 years, man. Fucking hell. Jesus
Damn.
Christ.
She put in a Harry Kane type fucking effort, and the Spurs stayed as long as she could. with no trophy. Finally gave it
in it, man. In it. It was silverware. it was always gonna come. But that's what I told her. But yeah, man. I nearly didn't get back up when I went down on one knee. I was like, oh shit, I fucked my knee up here, man. Like, I'm a back, everything. I was like, oh no. But yeah, I managed to catch it on video, which was nice, man.
That's
how about you? Are you settled down over in Spain, or
I'm currently
looking for a senorita?
I currently have one. She's actually she should be back any minute, making some crepes. like her
nice.
Kind of getting hungry, babe. Like, but no, I've settled in. I really love it here.
You should have a little bell you can ring, man, when it's crepe time.
She doesn't speak English. No, I'm kidding. She speaks English, but if she didn't, I'd be like, porfi, my crepe, mi crepe. No, I'm settled in here. I really love it here. Even if I didn't have a girlfriend, I would stay here. Like, I love it. Canada was, kind of like England, but probably not
cold.
As bad. I don't know. Yeah,
it has
different reasons it sucks. Like, I have a friend who's from Manchester, and he tells me all the problems like that England has, and I'm like, that sounds like Canada, but like in different ways. They're both cold and miserable.
I mean, until recently, I thought Canada was like a really cool place to live. Like, you know, everyone seems a lot more friendly. Everyone seems a lot more chill. But it does seem to be getting a little bit more like the US in a lot of ways. I don't know. I'm just external. Maybe you know more.
No, I've been in America quite a few times. Canada and North America in general is just like a very, to me, compared to Europe, it's very boring. Like, there's not a lot to do.
Yeah.
It's a very anti-social environment. It's like very, especially if you're from a smaller city. Like, maybe Toronto is okay. Maybe like some of these big cities are okay, but those are like unaffordable. Like, you can't live in Toronto. Even with like a normal salary, you can't live in Toronto. And the current thing in Canada is like $180,000 to get like an average house mortgage. You'd be making $180,000 a year, Canadian.
Oh, hell, man.
So no one can afford that. Like, no one can afford a house.
No.
So now it's basically like Europe. Like, Europe, a lot of people here can't afford housing, but at least you have like a really good lifestyle. You have a lot of fun things to do. In Canada, it's like that, but you have no life. So it's like, why the fuck would I stay here? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I love about Spain. I guess it's the same. Like, I've been to Barcelona and Madrid. You just go out at like 8, 9 at night. Everyone's on the street eating, drinking, mingling, socializing. Yeah, man. In England, everyone's just fucking hidden inside. And don't get me wrong, I like to hide inside sometimes, but when I want to go out, I want shit to be going on. And that's the thing about Asia or even parts of Europe. You know, there's night markets. There's a vibe, man. But we don't get that. And I think maybe it's because of the weather as well. The weather's so shit.
Yes. Huge. Weather is huge. Yeah. What's life like there in Thailand? What's your average weekend? What are you doing? Like, obviously you're working, but what's the difference between lifestyles?
Do we call shit posting working now? Memeing.
I call it working. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just really chill. Just you go to the gym, train some Muay Thai, go to cafes, go to restaurants, night markets are a big one, man. Like the street food here. You know, some countries like India, I wouldn't really trust the street food, especially with my stomach. But in Thailand, it's pretty good, man. And got like a lot of friends, go out, go to bars, meet up. A lot of marijuana. A lot of marijuana
really?
Here.
A lot
well,
of
it's legal. It's legal here now, man. It got legalized maybe 6 months ago, a bit longer. So everywhere you go now, man, there's a weed dispensary. There's just fucking cannabis like leaves everywhere. There's within like a 2 kilometer radius of here, it's probably like 15 weed
shops. It's literally Canada. It's literally what happened in Canada.
Is it the same there too?
Yeah, same thing. There's more like weed dispensaries than McDonald's in Canada.
Because I've never seen it, because obviously being from England and Europe, we don't really have that. But yeah, I guess in Canada, you're used to that shit.
I actually have a friend who just moved to Thailand. She is she has a master's degree in biology, specifically in like weed plant cultivation, and she like started like 3 startups. I saw she's somewhere near like Bangkok. So two really good friends. So I'm definitely gonna make a trip out there.
Future. Have you been out to Asia before?
I've been to Thailand. I've been to Bangkok. Yeah. I've been to Krabi. I've been to Japan. I've been to Beijing, Osaka, Tokyo. I've been to a few places, but not nearly enough from what I should be. Like, I was only in Asia for 2 weeks and I went to all those places. So,
oh shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you make of China, man?
China. China.
China.
China.
China.
China for me, it's not it. I'm not a fan. You know, I know I'm going to get banned from every Chinese post or every Chinese website, but I'm not. It's not for me. It's not for me.
No.
It's a little
too...
It's not
what I thought it'd be.
Nah. It's, I think the funny part... Here's the funny part about China. My parents will get Serbia fucking news all the time that's like propaganda about either Russia or China. And they'll tell me, oh, look what China's doing. They're building this and this and this. And my dad will hype up China to me. And I will every time say, I went there, my guy. It's not all that great. And he's like, no, but they're doing this. I'm like, go live there. And then you can talk to me about China. Because I don't believe you'd survive there. I know what you like. You can, you're barely surviving in Canada. You think you could survive in China? Absolutely not.
So. My dad's 100% the exact same.
They're
Russia
all like
and
that.
China. Yeah, yeah. And I lived there, man. And I'm like,
yeah.
Hates America, USA with a passion. But I'm like, you would hate to live in China. You aren't going to live there. Do you know what the best summer of it all is? Have you seen Team America?
Of course. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Dicks, pussies, and assholes.
Yeah.
It's the best summation of everything. Yeah, America might not be the best, but and it might be a bit of a dick, but you kind of need it to make sure the asshole doesn't shit on the dick and the pussies, right? So in that sense, I'm always in favor of America, like, you know, freedom and everything. As much as we take the piss out of it, like, you don't get any of that shit in China or Russia for that, you know. And for Serbs to dish Russia, it's like, oh no, mighty Russia, our big brother. For me, it's like, nah.
I would say it this way. I hate every one of them equally. How about that? Now, if I have to pick a gun to my head, I'll pick the one that I least, you know, the devil you know, that's the expression, is better than the devil you don't. But I will say I hate all of them in various ways. They all have things I absolutely can't stand about them. So my hatred knows no discrimination. It goes freely to everyone.
A douche. It's like a giant douche and the turd sandwich, right? You've got to pick one, right?
You got to pick one.
South Park summed it up perfectly, didn't they, man?
What are some other... Yeah, keep going. I was going to ask you another question, but keep going.
That's the way it is in the world, man. I mean, I studied politics and I had no desire to get into politics, but it's just kind of funny watching the whole circus and the shit show unfold, man, especially in Canada last week.
Yeah.
With a fucking Nazi getting a standing ovation, man, like, that you can't write. That is like a South Park episode, man. That's like...
It was world-class stuff. It was world-class stuff. And then the best part of that is, like, Canada started censoring media outlets that don't pay them. So...
Who don't pay the government?
You need to, like, if you're a big multimedia company, from my understanding of this new bill that got passed, you need to pay the government to fucking post free media. So like if you go in Canada right now and you're on Instagram, and this is just for Meta and anything that Meta owns. If you go in Canada right now, like set your VPN to Canada and go on Instagram and try to go on Bloomberg, you won't be able to. Bloomberg is blocked. So I want you to just like, let's
Bloomberg.
Bloomberg's like blocked.
The goody two shoes who toes the line. Yes. Like what the fuck?
Yes. Now let me just play this scenario out for you. Let's just describe what I've said. You go online, you see a video of a Nazi being celebrated in the Canadian Parliament. Then you say, oh, here's Bloomberg posting that Canada is talking about a Nazi. And they're like, what the fuck are they doing, right? Which is the right reaction that 99% of the world should have. And Canada blocks that fucking news outlet because they don't like the fact they're not paying them to talk about this. Like, it's just, it's madness. It's madness.
Look. Slowly sleepwalking into some kind of fucking 1984 Orwellian kind of thing.
Dystopian
with the media,
nightmare.
It seems.
Yes.
But like, I was like thinking about this the other day, how Elon's bought X. It seems like there's going to be some kind of talking about metaverse wars and stuff. I mean, it already kind of is divided politically. You know, you typically have more liberal people on like the Facebook and stuff like that. And then X is more free thinkers or people towards the right or whatever. The spectrum's so weird these days. I mean, calling blue-haired trans people left. I mean, I don't know what Lenin would have made of these people. I have no idea. Right. Like, it's just weird. But you know what I'm saying? It seems there will be some kind of metaverse war in effect between these different apps that have different political standpoints, and
it's fun.
It'd be interesting to watch.
It's fun times.
Yeah,
it's fun times when the left wants war.
Yeah, people like end times, global warming, whatever. I'm like, if the show's gonna finished, I want to be here for the big finale, man. Like, fuck it. Like,
I've had a great run. I always think of it this way. I've had a great run. Putin, feel free to nuke Canada. They had a good run. They had a good run. Putin, just nuke him. It's fine.
Just a few nukes.
Don't throw in my city.
Little hydrogen bomb. Just a little bit of hydrogen.
They're literally saluting Nazis in Parliament. I mean, if that's not a warning sign for time to nuke them, I don't know what is. Like, to me, if I saw like a guy with a mustache in Canada in Parliament having a big rally in another language that maybe is foreign, I'd be like, oh, maybe we should start getting a little worried about those guys over there. You know,
it's crazy because the Canadian stereotype of being like really friendly, like the South Park stereotypes and everything like that. It just seems like such a silly faux pas that like Canada committed, but it seems like they did it without trying to be vindictive. It seems like they were just like, well, we thought it was just a nice old man. Like, you know, I don't believe there probably wasn't anything sinister behind it. Like,
just
really.
Imagine Canadians like, oh yeah, that guy's a Nazi? Oh yeah, pal, I didn't know about that. Oh, sorry about that.
Precisely, man. Precisely. Like, you can't hear it. That's why you just got to laugh, man. If it was England or some shit, I'd be going hard, man. But with Canada, I'm like, it's Canadian, man. Like,
they're
you gotta
cute.
Let them off, man.
They're not even doing anything. Tillip.
Nah, they're all right, man. They're all right. But, if it was England, fuck that shit, man.
No, for Canada, it's like, they're right next to America. No one's worried about them. Like, if America will keep them in check. We're at the 55-minute mark. So I usually do an hour. I guess outro is, what are you currently working on? Some big projects. I don't know. There was a video that you were working on that it's not ready yet about some club in England that I'm really excited about. I've seen that you have footage of the man that's dropping notorious deuces in the club, and I'm really excited for that part.
Yeah, man. The Acapulco. It's the oldest nightclub in Britain in my hometown. I only realized it was the oldest nightclub like a few months ago now, and I was like about to head home for a visit. I thought, this place deserves a video. I've been looking for a subject matter to make a YouTube video about and to make a new form of documentaries about. And, you know, when it's got all the mythical stories such as the Phantom Shitter, the doo-doos over the past few decades left a huge turd on the dance floor on numerous occasions and nobody knows who it is. I mean, who wouldn't want to investigate this story, man?
Right.
And it's got such a crazy reputation, you know, that the security staff, the bouncers, they are notorious for throwing people down the stairs. Like, so many people have crazy stories about broken bones, broken faces, broken whatever, doing like cartwheels down the stairs. And it's also interesting.
It's like something out of a movie, like Snatch.
And you'd be surprised, like, so many people, because I did a big post in a local Facebook group to get some stories and insight from people in my hometown, and so many people met their husbands and wives there, and they've gone on to have kids. So it's like a ancestral breeding ground for the people of my hometown as well, because it's been open since 1961.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be cool, man. It's going to be cool. Nearly finished now. Hoping to release it, like, next week or the week after. But it'll be the first kind of this kind of YouTube video that I've done. Oh, shit. It's
No worries.
It's 35 minutes long, so it's a bit of a long one. Yeah, it's a big one.
Is the focus to make more like YouTuber style? Like, is it now the focus to, you know, I would say the other videos you did are very, they're very what they're supposed to be. They're kind of like tourism or more so passion projects, but they're not really going to get a lot of eyeballs with random people. So is it now to make more content that's a little bit more, I don't want to say YouTuber-y, but like that has a broader appeal, let's say?
100%, man, because like I was saying before, when I moved out to Asia, the aim was to make documentaries and become a documentary filmmaker and just basically tell stories. And somehow I've fallen into this kind of hamster wheel where I'm just doing lots of commercial work. Like I said, the documentaries brought all these commercial opportunities and it's great. I can make money from making tourism videos and shooting yoga and stuff, but it's not what I want to do, man.
Yeah.
It's not what I want to do at all. So like you said, the cinematic documentary, it's hard to get the eyeballs on them. Yeah, you might get some job offers and some great opportunities for commercial work, but to create a real following, you kind of need to change it up and make something more YouTubery. So yeah, that's definitely the route I'm going down. Next week here in Phuket, there's this thing called the Vegetarian Festival. And it's not what you think. It's like a big parade through the center of Phuket town. And the local people who take part, they do this thing where they like put huge skewers through the mouths like
Nice.
Even like table legs. Beautiful, man. Absolutely beautiful. a sight to behold. It's, if you're squeamish, like you don't want to see that shit, but they take it to extreme lengths, like huge skewers through the lips and everything. It's meant to be like paying back for the gods. So yeah, just going to go with my girlfriend, video it, you know, make a cool little video, something more casual, and hopefully pump more videos out like about cool, quirky social phenomena around Asia, but in a more personable approach. But who knows?
I might have more
personality
stories?
There, and everyone be like, who the fuck's this guy? Fuck this guy. Who's this douchebag, man?
This guy's been behind the camera the whole time.
Who's this douchebag, man, in the fucking Yugoslavia shirt from 1998?
What about, like, stories that you've had, like, from your past life? That was the GF walking by. Your stories in the past life. Why not make those content, I guess?
Well, I recycle the documentaries I've made in the past.
No. I mean, like, the stories. You've had a pretty interesting experience living in Thailand. You've lived in England. You've told me a mob story. Like, I don't want to say turn your life into content, but hear me out. A little bit of that wouldn't be the worst.
I mean, I really like the way you make videos. You're not necessarily going out and shooting anything, but you're telling stories with, you know, stock footage or footage that you've shot. Just basically you talking, or whether it's FIFA and stuff like that. So yeah, definitely there is room to move into that. And I'm sure once I get this first one done, I'll start experimenting with different types. But yeah, I feel like making some comedy videos about experiences from the past or traveling stories with like AI simulated footage as well and photos to like reconstruct scenes. Yeah, that could be really cool, man.
That's a really cool idea, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I used a bit of AI in this Acapulco video, like to simulate people falling down the stairs, to simulate the guy taking a shit on the dance floor.
I'm excited to see that. That's awesome. I'm actually, All right, I wasn't subscribed before. Now I've hit the subscribe button. Just so I let you know, it happened literally right now.
Big up, man. Big up.
I've got notifications on.
I've got like fucking 400 now, man. I'm killing it.
You're at 782 now, actually.
Oh, fucking hell. Okay.
You're moving up in the world.
I don't even know. I guess you're obviously monetized on YouTube, right? But I don't even know how that even happens, man. Like these days, you have to like get so many views within a month or something. Like
it's watch time. It's mostly watch time. You need like some number of watch time hours in a certain amount of time, and you need, I think it's 1,000 subscribers, but I could be wrong. I haven't checked in a while, dude. Literally, just all you have to do is like make a couple of shorts that are going to pop off, like get a couple thousand, you know, or maybe a couple tens of thousand views, and you can bang out the watch time hours in no time.
You make a lot of shorts as well then?
I've switched to a lot of shorts. One, because, you know, finding guests is not easy, and like it's somewhat out of my control. Like I'd have to either be lucky or I have to hire someone to actively look for people. And two, I love the limitation of a short. I love like I only have 60 seconds to tell a story or to make you laugh. So to me, it's a fun challenge every time. Like I write out every script for shorts. Like I'm like, I'll spend hours just like, can I remove that and? Do I need that and? Can that be a jump cut? I'm trying to like meticulously remove words from like a 200 words script. You know, it's like,
You killed it with the Serbia one, man. I mean, that's how I initially found you, man. That was awesome. That was really good.
That's the best case scenario. Like I find a random short and some person follows me. I'm like, oh, that's pretty interesting. Let's see what they're doing. And then that's my guess. Like, holy shit. Like that's win-win-win for me.
Yeah. So I mean, people talk about how they don't like how social media's changed and it's all like short attention span, but I kind of relish the challenge of trying to tell a story in 1 minute 30. It's kind of cool,
right,
man.
Yes.
But for me, it's going to be a challenge to do that and then get people over to the YouTube to watch the full video that I'm publishing.
Same,
you know, it's like, do you tell the full story in 1 minute 30? Do you leave it on a cliffhanger? But then nobody really shares cliffhangers. They'll go straight to the YouTube, so it won't get much engagement. It's like, it's
same problem,
tough,
dude.
Man. Yeah.
We literally face the same problem. You have a long form video. I have a long form podcast. So yeah. I know, and you know that there's parts of the story that you're telling that are super interesting. So like, you know that there are people that would find that interesting, but how do you get them to, one, get to that video, two, stay, invest? And there needs to be a little bit of tricks in terms of like, I hate to say it, but they are tricks. Like, you need a really good opener. You have like the first few seconds need to be really catchy, or like,
yeah.
I'm experimenting with like, how do I get you in the first few minutes? And I think if you're in for the first few minutes, you're going to stay for the whole thing. Maybe not the whole thing, but you'll stay for a longer period of time. So it's a constant battle.
In terms of podcast, then at the beginning, you really like setting it up and getting people invested.
That's what I'm trying to do more of. Yeah, that's the game plan. Like, give you the first 5 minutes, really, really like well made, like tell a story, ask a bunch of questions, leave a bunch of cliffhangers, and hopefully that's enough for people to like stay on board and listen to all the way.
It's funny because obviously with social media, with Instagram, when you're making reels, you've got to think about the hook and like grabbing people's attention. But with YouTube, I don't know. I always took it for granted that people were already invested to watch the video. But even in YouTube these days, because those attention spans are waning and everybody's becoming like Idiocracy, you've even got to do it there as well, I guess, haven't you, to get people.
The game's evolving at a very rapid pace. It changes every day, it feels like. So if you're not staying up to date with like the latest and greatest, it's kind of like, in one sense, it does feel gross to like really get this analytical about these things. But in another sense, like, it's kind of like a necessary evil. It's like you kind of need to know it, or you're not going to have much success.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. And at 32, to be jumping into the YouTube game at 32, I'm like, what the fuck do I know, man, when you got all these little fucking kids and Mr. Beast and all that shit. I'm like, fuck, I feel like an old granddad coming to like the fucking youth club or some kids. Shit. But I know, man, I know, fucking hell, but. We've got to try these things, haven't we, man? Like you said, you just got to make whatever you feel like making, right? That's how you have the most success, it seems, in terms of work, man. Just
for sure,
not thinking about the money and just going ham.
Beautiful way to end it. We've done 1 hour and 5. Marco, thank you so much for your time. A lot of fun. We'll definitely do it again. If you ever come to Spain, we'll do it in person. If I come to Thailand, we'll do it in person, 100%. Where can people follow you? What's the main place? I can leave some links.
Probably Instagram, man.
Instagram.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Instagram. I'm there the most. YouTube shortly, I guess. But at the moment, it's pretty quiet out there.
Well, hopefully it picks up in the near future. But that was a lot of fun. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Nah, man. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all your insights, man. You're a wise guy. And big up, Mike Acidabia.
Big up, pander to our people, pander.